You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
And on the line, we've got Deputy Mayor of Tamaki Makaurau, Desley Simpson. Kia ora, Desley. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Rachel.
It's nice to chat with you today. It is the last day for submissions on the Auckland Council's budget. We are going to have a proper chat about this in a second, but I do want to start by talking about another big thing we've seen hit the news this week around Auckland Council, and that is that the council is going to be leaving the local government advocacy sector, Local Government New Zealand. Now, this was came down to a split vote, and then the mayor made the deciding vote, which has pulled us out of that. What is the reasoning behind leaving LGNZ?
Well, look, from my perspective, it was a line ball, really. Local Government New Zealand is like the membership organisation for local government, right? So it encompasses about 78 councils, which we have throughout New Zealand. But Auckland is definitely by far the biggest. Several of those councils have fewer than 10,000 residents, i.e. Kaikoura. And some of our local board areas, and certainly our wards, are bigger than most of those councils. So Local Government New Zealand advocates to government on behalf of all of those councils. But up till now, its focus has been on the smaller councils, and they've obviously got fewer resources to do this by themselves. So the question for me is, did we need a lobby group to advocate to central government on behalf of Auckland? Now, what is interesting about Auckland is it's a bespoke model of local government. So we're not the same as any other council in New Zealand. Not only, I'm talking about size here, but we have our own legislation, and our own governance structure, and obviously our own way of doing things. And we have a scale that means we can do many of the things that those little councils can't do by ourselves.
Okay, but there's an argument perhaps that this is sounding a lot like Auckland exceptionalism, though. Isn't there something important about us as a big council being part of that in order to support smaller councils around the country? What would you say to that particular counterpoint?
Well, first of all, we are different, you know, and we are bigger. And by way of, you know, supporting other councils, look, you know, from my perspective, I haven't closed my door on any other council or any other support. I haven't been in my job 6 months, and I have personally met the mayor of Waimakariri, the mayor of New Plymouth, the mayor of Christchurch. I speak regularly to the mayor of Rangitiki. I mean, we our door is open to communicate and support councils regardless of whether we are part of a lobbying group on government relations.
So how is the council going to make sure its voice is heard at a central government level if it's not part of LGNZ?
Because we regularly meet with ministers. I mean, I met with Minister Wood last night with the mayor. I mean, we have, as far as central government is concerned, Auckland is important to them. Of course it's important to them. It's a third of the country and about, 37-39% of their GDP. And we had an agreement right from the beginning of this council that we would have regular meetings with the central government ministers, and that's what we will do. And to be part of local government New Zealand isn't going to replace that. I mean, the lazy way of central government Auckland council relationship is for them to speak once in Wellington to LGNZ and think that their message has gone all the way.
Okay. I mean, this all, I'm understanding what you're saying, Desley, but there has also been, and it's been the way it's been reported on as well, an argument that the main reason for us leaving is actually a cost-saving thing, which I guess fits with all of the other conversations we're hearing coming out of council at the moment. But we are seeing pushback that this is actually going to potentially cost us more. Is this the right decision to be making at a time when we're looking at potentially huge budget, this huge budget, which is going to cut so much across the city? Is this the right decision for us to be moving away from LGNZ?
Well, I don't think it will cost us more at all. First of all, and I don't think the decision was purely just cost. It was a chance, and I said this in my speech last week when it was being discussed. It is, from my perspective, it's a trial. You know, when you miss something, when you leave something, you either miss it a lot or you don't miss it at all. And for me, that was what it was about, was to see if we could go it alone and see how it went. Look, the costing that you're referring to, it was about street lighting. So there was a collective deal done with the electricity commission, or whatever it's called, on a deal for street lighting. Well, quite simply, we have more street lights than anybody else. From Auckland Transport's perspective, and let's face it, the street lights come out of their jurisdiction, it's their single biggest electricity cost, even more than their train. So as a big user, we've asked Auckland Transport if they can, you know, to maintain that deal. We have 125,000 streetlights. It's approximately a third of the total of New Zealand streetlights. Of course, when you're talking size and volume, you can do a deal. So I don't think that, I don't think there's any real reason that we need to stay with LGNZ, and let's try it. I'm certainly not saying we should never go back. I'm saying, let's see if we miss it, if we're not there.
Well, I mean, we could talk about this for a long time, but I do just want to ask, what do you mean by it's a trial? When do we sort of decide whether this trial has worked or not?
Well, it's an annual subscription. And, I mean, if we found in the year that we're about to do, we're pulling out as of the end of March, and if we find that, you know, this time next year, we're missing them terribly, well, we can actually just subscribe again.
Okay, well let's talk about the budget now, because it is the last day for people to have their say on Auckland Council's budget. As you said last time we spoke with you, Desley, we've seen a lot of people submitting on this. There has still been a lot of frustration about the turnaround time on this, given the scale of the budget and the potential cuts that we're going to see. There's also been a lot of frustration about what happens next. What does happen after this budget's been submitted on today? What's the next stage of the process, Desley?
Okay, well, first of all, we've had a huge amount of submissions, which is really positive. I mean, you know, I think there are a lot of people who don't like aspects of this budget, me included, and there's no doubt in my mind people are having their say, whether it's in face-to-face or via the telephone or online. I mean, it's the second biggest response so far to the COVID emergency budget, which was pretty shocking for us all. From a numbers perspective, as I said, it's the highest number. The thing that's bothering me a little bit, and I wouldn't mind you helping a bit of a push from your perspective, is young people between 15 and 24 haven't really responded in big numbers. So what we're trying to do here is get an independent demographically and geographically representative survey on the to get their views from that age group. The survey is structured, or will be structured, to measure public feedback in a way that matches our demographic structure, as I said, of age, geographic spread around the region, and ethnicity and gender.
I mean, that's really good to hear that you're wanting to engage with that group specifically, because we do know that young people particularly have a hard time engaging with local government issues. Doesn't this feed into the same conversation that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks about the submissions process for this not necessarily being fit for all communities that it needs to access in such a short time frame, Desley?
Well, look, we try our best. We have people in our organisation that are, you know, able to provide the information in a lot of languages and in a lot of forums. And it's also up to local boards and elected members to say, look, my community has a lot of people from this particular demographic or this particular way, and we really want to make sure we hear from them, so they come up with suggestions too. So look, we have done our best, and I would certainly welcome anybody's suggestion on how best to do it. We are stuck with a bit of a legal time frame around this, but what happens is the submission period closes at 11 o'clock tonight, and then once that has happened, our teams will analyse the responses and come back to us with advice. I mean, we've received detailed staff advice on all the issues we consulted on, like airport shares, service reductions, changes in rates and debt, and of course our investment program. Following that, there's a big korero and a big discussion around what do we do next based on that feedback. And that'll be a very, very robust discussion. I personally don't think we'll end up with a budget like the one that's gone out. I think there'll be definitely some changes.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Desley. We will talk to you again next week when we can have a bit more of a discussion about what happens next. But thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. Have a great week.
Thank you, Rachel. Same to you.
Kia ora.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.